Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at UH1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
Center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and I'm Kat Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Me and a guest ranking things in Star Wars, and we are continuing our most favoritest, bestest lines in all the motion pictures. We have been having just a ball going through all the movies and picking out our favorite lines. Some of them are lines that you would say they're some of the best, and others are little tiny lines that mean a lot, or things that we take inspiration and personal lessons from. That's why we're here for Star Wars. To do that today, and today we're looking at Solo, A Star Wars Story, but here's Joseph Scrimshaw.
Oh, I'm happy to be here to discuss our favoritist lines, which I really like that turn of phrase. It's the holiday season as we record, and that sounds like the way some little adorable orphan would phrase the word favorite in some Dickens story. This is my favoritist time of year, sir.
It is indeed. More, sir, more Star Wars lines. We are, like I said, our up top are at Solo, A Star Wars Story, 2018. Oh, Solo, here we go again. Whoa, ready for some discourse, Joseph. overall, we have always really enjoyed this movie and what it brings to the Star Wars table. There's a lot there, and we say this almost in every Star Wars ranked, and it's not a lie because we mean it. I personally found this really difficult. There's so many lines, so many quotable lines, so many inspirational lines. There's just a lot going on in this fun movie. you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You and I are both big fans of Solo, as I'm sure will come out in this podcast. But this one was another real challenge between the lines that are just like, I just like the way that's delivered, or that's a weird, quirky line, versus the Kasdan machine. Two generations of Kasdans coming up with witty little quips. And then there are just so many meaningful lines of like, yeah, what are the lines where like the heart of the film is contained in these lines? So trying to balance all that in a list of five with many honorable mentions was a fun challenge.
Fun challenge indeed. And for the most part, you and I could probably make a list off our memory, going from the gut, and then maybe confirm it with a list article or something like that. I have found, even though I do look at some of the articles to make sure I'm getting some things right, I have to rewatch all these films. I mean, it's just a hazardous job.
It is. It's so brutal. Like, yeah, I made my list for this one, and I had a couple like, I get this fear that I'm forgetting something I really love.
Yes.
So then I watched the majority of the film. I kind of jumped around, and I definitely did add some more to my honorable mentions. But for the most part, my list remained the same. So there you go. I spent some extra quality time with Solo, and hopefully that will show in our podcast here today.
It will show. We work our way 5-1. Of course, we're going to throw in some honorable mentions. We'll try to make that list not its own separate show, but it's impossible at times when you're talking about these movies. We are going to begin our list, our look at our favorite lines in Solo, A Star Wars Story, with Joseph's number 5.
Yeah, my number 5 is, I really wrestled with where to put this one because it is one of my absolute favorite lines. It's got some flair to it, but it just really shows character. There are so many lines in Solo that feel like, oh, that really sums up like the big ideas of the movie. But one of the great things I love about this movie is it has so many great big ideas, but it is also just this absolutely fun thrill ride with this character of Han Solo, this character who is young, hungry, and reckless. So that's where I wanted to start, because this line for me is one of the perfect Han Solo lines. It's not really written as a quip, but it just is Han Solo. It is during the initial meeting with Dryden Vos, where they're trying to make up for the lost coaxium. They're saying that where else are we going to steal or find coaxium? And Han Solo, who should not be speaking at this meeting, he has been told by multiple people, just suddenly blurts out, "What about unrefined?" And I love the line because it is just the basic tension of the scene, the conflict of the scene of, can we possibly come up with a way for Dryden Vos not to kill us today in this business meeting over appetizers? And everybody from Kira to Beckett kind of letting Han know, don't speak. If you speak, you will risk death. Mm. So not only does he break that rule, but then he comes up with an idea that is kind of daring, only half there, a half finished thought, a desperate way to maybe win. This is the verbal equivalent of just running at stormtroopers in the Death Star of like, good thought, don't know how to finish it. And then the fact that it's just, everything in this movie runs on coaxium and it's meaningful. And this is yet another line that is just kind of hilariously meaningful. Of obviously unrefined is about coaxium, but it's Han Solo. He is unrefined, right? So hearing him go, what about unrefined, is almost hearing like you're hearing him say, what about Han Solo?
Yeah. Yeah. The energy there, the reactions, it's a funny beat, but it's such a deep character moment. Indeed, I love how you connected to the charging after the stormtroopers. Everything about it, I just love the read. It just the whole time this meeting's going on, his mind is churning, right? His mind, how do we do this? There's got to be a way to blow it up, as he says in Force Awakens. It's Han. And then it just, it isn't a Columbo. And one more thing, it's like, hey, wait, what about this? Hey, stop talking. Has anyone thought of this? I love the energy. That's a great way to start the list and to really pull from who Han is at this time and who he is going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it is just I enjoyed it on first viewing, but when I watch this film again and again, because I really enjoy it, that one just pops for me. So it had to be my first one, my number 5. What about unrefined?
What about unrefined breaking up the business meeting of doom? Hey, I respect and appreciate that. From Joseph number five, we're going to go to my number five. And we're starting off with actually, this is every once in a while, Joseph and I like to cheat and squeeze a bunch of lines into one choice because it's a conversation. I'm going to go similar in a way to your number five of just the energy of Han and the character of Han and how that runs throughout this movie as it should. I love after they crash land on Savarine, having just escaped certain doom in the Kessel Run. And here we go. I know a lot of people didn't enjoy seeing the Kessel Run or didn't want to see it, or that's not how they envisioned it. And that's not exactly how I envisioned it growing up. I always thought it was just like a simple street race. Someone would drop in a flag and two ships are racing. But we got this version that we did. And when they crash land on Savarine, and Han is speaking to a member of the Savarine city there as they unload the coaxium. I just did the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. The guy ignores him, by the way, just kind of like, sure, whatever, dude. Chewie gives a roar, and Han says, not if you round down. I love that exchange. I love that sequence. It got a good laugh the first viewing I saw the film in. But this is – Han is a legend, and we got legends and expanded universe stuff in Star Wars, and we got canon. We always have that battle, but Han is a legend. Han is a story, and I just kind of love the reveal that 12 parsecs wasn't even exactly correct, and you wouldn't want it to be exactly correct because it's Han, and you got facts. He's going to print the legend every time, and it just kind of is the energy of even this film to me, and even the story of Han. There's so many versions out, and there's so many great legends, EU Han stories that people are really – close to and tied to and love. And I know you do as well, Joseph. And it's like, this to me, it almost acknowledges all of it. It's all true from Han's point of view. And that's kind of the spirit of his character. He's not a put on. He's not acting, but he's always Han Solo, a legend in his own mind. And I just love this moment. Love the energy.
A legend in his own mind. Yeah, this is one of the really successful comedy moments. It builds the character, but it is so Han Solo, right? A legend in his own mind is such a great way to say it, of like he wants to brag, right? There's always that great energy between him and Leia in Empire about, like, you know, you don't have to do this to impress me kind of thing, you know? Yeah. That he wants to sell people on himself in the fact that nobody ever seems to really buy it or care.
Yeah.
With this person on Savarine, like, great, good for you, right? There's that dynamic of Han always trying to talk up this legend. There is the dynamic of Chewie always going like, really? Are you sure? I mean, this relates directly to, like, wasn't he a war hero? And Chewie being like, yeah, in Force Awakens. But the not if you round down, buddy. It's I love all of his energy here, right? He just kind of took his first step into the larger world, you know?
He really did.
Of like, he goes through all these baby steps of he escapes, he's on a job on the Convex, right? He's in hyperspace, he's, you know, he's playing Sabacc, but this was like, he took the wheel literally, right? Yeah. And it worked. He did something crazy and it worked. And he's so happy about it. So there's like, just kind of like this, it's not defensive. A lot of times you hear Han's legend from a defensive point of view, right? And this is so proud. Not if you're round down, buddy. But yeah, the way it then reverberates out, it's so perfect because this is the legend that he seems to be to care about, right?
Yeah.
That's how he brags up the Falcon to Obi-Wan. This is extra funny when he's mad at Rey for getting the number wrong when his number was never correct to begin with. So there's just layers and layers of stuff that's the heart of Han Solo and the fun of Han Solo in this.
Yeah, touched upon too, of just kind of where he has it in this movie. He's done some things okay so far, including the wonderful, you know, suggestion in the business meeting. He's got some wins, but to me, this is like Han's first victory. Like everything, these big steps he's taken, like you said, his first step in a larger world. And it's like, look at this. This is a great feeling. I'm so happy. I'm just chuffed. Han is chuffed in this moment. And I love everything about that and what it means for Han here.
Yeah, I mean, I love that energy when he's got his arm around Lando and he's like looking down at the beaten up Falcon. And this is just like everything he ever dreamed of, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. I think, there's another part of it. Like he's already done this. He's already, you know, oversold himself in that, you know, I think he's being honest when he tells Beckett, you know, I was boosted in AV-21s when I was 10 years old and all that. But there's also this kind of, he's stepping into what he's been taught, right? When Lando gives him that kind of lesson of saying, everything you've heard about me is true. You know, he's living up to that. It's like, oh, you build your legend. All right, let's go.
Let's do it. Let's make my LinkedIn profile seem bigger than it is.
Yes.
There we go. So that is my number five. We're both starting this list with true Han energy, which is a great way to look at this film. But now we're up to your number four.
Yeah, well, we will move on there from Han padding his resume, which is really funny, to my number four here is going to one of the lines that I think has a lot of depth, but I just also love the way it's phrased. I've talked about a lot on these favoritist lines episodes that I love the moments where it's kind of down to earth charm like Han, but I still like the moments when the dialogue is a little operatic and heightened, right? Because it comes from pulp and adventure serial. Mm-hmm. So my number four is Enfys Nest answering the question of what the Quaxium really is worth at the end of the movie. And she says, it's the blood that brings life to something new. Not only is that just like a great turn of phrase, but to me, it really sums up the power of Quaxium in this movie. The Quaxium is set up from the very beginning with the opening text, not the opening crawl, but the opening text of everybody fights for resources. And then we see all these different people who are sort of imprisoned literally or just imprisoned within the system, imprisoned by their own debts like Beckett and Val. From Enfys Nest and the Cloud Rider's perspective, this is about literal freedom. From the Empire, not just buying their way out, but buying the power to rebel. And for me, this is one of the things that I love the most about the movie is it is an absolutely great adventure serial about how this charming rogue Han Solo becomes this charming rogue Han Solo. But it is so invested in the time that he came into maturity, which is a time where resources are everything because the Empire is squeezing everybody. And I think, you know, it's one of those places where I love when Star Wars is sort of real in its world building, that resources are what makes the world, the galaxy go around, and whoever controls the resources has power, and power equals freedom. And this line to me is just such a great visceral way after we've seen all these different people want Quaxium to kind of trade it for some kind of power. For her to say, it is a power to bring rebirth. It is the power to bring life instead of death. That's what this Quaxium is to me.
This this line to me is the heart of this movie, and I've always felt this. And this was something coming out of our reviews that you loved this line, you loved everything about it, and so I'm so glad you're talking about it here in this episode. Solo Star Wars Story is everything you described, including the fun serial adventure, but I do believe Enfys Nest and the Cloud Riders represent the heart of just what's going on in the galaxy. And it's a window into the bigger picture. And that is this nice thematic blanket over every other scene in the movie to me. Like it's a connective thread. I'll throw all these fancy rock critic words, you know, it's a connective thread. It's the heart of the album, but it really is. And I point to this album and I point to this line. And I point to this character a lot in any conversations I have about Solo, because it is everything. It is the oppression of the Empire. You and I have often used that phrase, the boot of the Empire is on the galaxy in this movie. That makes them the big enemy in many different ways. And the power that represents, and it's all down to that coaxium, which I've seen in some reviews. I remember early on getting, I got a little grumpy, just people casting that aside as, you know, as it's just some MacGuffin, and you know, and it's a plot device in that sense. It's what they're after, but it represents everything. It represents everything. I was watching last night just when Enfys and her Cloud Riders, and they all pull their masks off and reveal themselves. Love that scene. Love, and it is all tied to that. It is what is really going on, and that's the world Han is in, and it's important for him to see it, important for him to learn it eventually.
Yeah, exactly. And it is, you know, for me, it isn't like, yeah, this is a wink and a nod to Han's going to join the rebellion eventually. Because it isn't about like canon connections. It's not, you know, explaining some minor detail. It is, this is the, he is coming of age in this era. And we're seeing all these characters who want the Quaxium for different reasons. The Empire wants it for control and power and domination, right? So does Crimson Dawn or personal wealth. And a lot of the characters we're following think it might turn into personal freedom for them, right? For Beckett and Val and Han, it's personal freedom. And here's Enfys Nest going, you all thought I was like you and just wanted this for my own selfish reason. I want this to free everyone.
Yeah. It's big. It's why we and so many other people love the character of Enfys Nest, but a lot of what's going on with Solo. Great choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. So that's my number four.
All right. My number four, I am going to go to the character Val. Now, I can't mention the character Val without acknowledging a lot of the conversation around the character. Valuable, important conversation. We're still here about that. I even talk about it here right now. I similar to like say when John Boyega brought up a lot of the stuff about what was going on with him and things he dealt with in front of the camera, behind the camera, in marketing, everything. I think it's important for us to be able to have those tough conversations about Star Wars and want better for Star Wars. I want Star Wars to grow as it has in many ways, but as it still moves forward. But also, I always want to try to celebrate the characters, and I do really love the character of Val. I really understand everything about it, including even the timing of the death itself, the actor playing it, Tandoe Newton. It does a wonderful job, models the character after her mother, as she said. And I love everything about that. But I also understand coming out of the theater, you got this wonderful woman of color in this role. People wanted more, and then she dies, early. It left you feeling empty. It left you questioning some things, and there was some important conversation still around those, still around this death. There's important conversations to have, you know, that's where I'm starting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And, I'll share any thoughts that I have on that, after you reveal your line.
Yes. But the line I do want to say is her final line. It's been a ride, babe, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Number one, I am one of the ones, and I think we even touched upon in a recent, episode of Force Center. Give me Beckett and Val on the run. Give me a Bonnie and Clyde Disney Plus series, and give it with these performers too. I'm not saying young or younger. Like, give me them because I love both of them as performers. In terms of a death, I think it's a great final line to me in a lot of ways. It is a smuggler scoundrel kind of way to go out, almost going out in a shield, but it also represents to me a lot of what that sequence was there for was to, show Han in a way the cost of the life he's about to enter and all those kind of things. And again, just the way the movie set up, a lot of it is to serve Han. You and I have discussed it as well. We'll continue to discuss that. But I just love in this world where you could die with your shoes on and die not by your choice. I love the power and conviction and almost peace that Val went out with in this moment. Whether she should have or not, we can continue to discuss. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying it's Luke Skywalker peace and purpose kind of level.
No,
I'm not saying that. But this is someone. This is someone who knew the life she was in. She knew the costs. She was okay with it. And for me, in terms of making choices and getting through life, that's something I take inspiration from. And I thought it was a strong line for a character in this moment itself. So I've always reacted to the line and reacted to her part in that sequence in a personal way for me. So that's why I love the line. And I just also, again, want to still highlight that her and her contribution to Star Wars. And I think it's a great character. So that's why it's my number four.
I totally get where you're coming from with the concerns and the caveats, and then also just wanting to appreciate what is there and the performance that is there. Yeah. And this line is so well delivered, and I can see why you definitely want to include it on the list. I think there is so many interesting ideas in it, right? That Beckett is trying to give this perspective to Han that, like, once you're in this life, you're in it. You don't dance in and out. We learn at that little late night picnic bonfire that, Val and Beckett truly care for one another, and Beckett really thinks that he can get out and they can retire, right? They're just going to clear these debts. And I think Val's got that doubt. I think Val is just like this realist who is like, nah, this galaxy is really rough, and you know, maybe even kind of agreeing with what Kira says later in the film. This isn't about winning. It's just about staying in the game as long as you can. And a little of that world weary, maybe cynicism, maybe realism, depending on your point of view, that she's like, this isn't some little fantasy. This isn't some little game that you can win. You just stay in the ride as long as you can. I'm committed to this life. And it's been a ride. Got to the end of it. I told you this would happen.
Yeah.
You know? But I made my choice, you know, and I think that there is like, there is a great power in that line of like, I've never had any blinders on. I know this is the way the galaxy works. I'm committed to this life, and this is the way this life ends sooner or later.
Yeah. For better or worse, here we are. And yeah. What you're saying earlier about even like the conversation, but we're going to go to Glen Sullivan and I'm going to learn the Valacord. It's like, you know, I'm going to retire and open up that, you know, jelly business. No, you're not.
Yeah, this is a side tangent, so I'll keep it very short. But when I was first starting to do shows, somebody had given me a calendar of old White Castle advertisements. And one of them said after the show, implying that after you go see a show, you should eat White Castle. This is from like the 40s.
Right.
And I eventually like it took that out of the calendar and kept it because I had noticed even at the very beginning of my performing career, I kept telling everybody what I was going to do after the next show when I had time. And for me, it became this just a very quick way to say like, oh, you know, there's always that next thing you claim you're going to do. But the reality is you're always in the thing you're doing now and you're never going to have quite as much time as you claim you're going to after the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, sorry for the White Castle sidebar. The thing I wanted to say about Val is, yeah, I absolutely love Solo with all my heart. And then it always does come with this asterisk of like, this is a film that is unique in Star Wars right now because it's explicitly in service of Solo. All these other characters exist in service of showing who Han is. Yeah. Chewie does. Beckett does. Everybody does. But then when multiple women characters meet either death or, you know, we can really debate Kira's fate, that can be really hard. And in particular, when it is, you know, a beloved performer, one of the first large roles for a Black woman in Star Wars, it is hard. You know, yeah. And I think there's no way around saying that is a discussion. I try to listen to multiple voices. I have heard people who say, I actually really like this for this reason. And I try to listen and respect and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, for myself, this is Star Wars and people come back.
Yeah.
And I still think it's possible that honestly, a part of me just really wants every time I watch the film to go like, yeah, no, maybe she's got some scars, but she survived that. I mean, because for me, that cool, yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you didn't see it. If you didn't see it, you didn't see it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, she's not, as far as we know, she is not strong in the Force. She's not staying alive with her own hate like Maul. But you know what? She could have some scars. I think for me, the reason it's not just that, like, me wanting to rewrite the movie, I think the thing for me is, I think that's compelling storytelling that Val would say, you know what? I love you, Beckett, but I've been in this life with you and you keep making choices I disagree with. I'm gone, you know?
Right.
And I do sometimes, I know that the impact is needed there for Han to get that this life is rough. And it is, he sees Rio die himself. Val dies and Beckett loses someone close to him. I see the value of the story it tells to Han. But I also feel like it would be fascinated, since Beckett's always like, he can't trust anybody. Yeah. The woman who loved me just bailed, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that there. I'm with you on that. And I like the intentions of the scene and the sequence, like I said. And I just think it also is... part of this conversation is too, as creators, as storytellers, you have to be aware 360 degrees around yourself with the story you're telling of the power of it and how you have that responsibility as a storyteller and the way in which you tell the stories and the way in which you deliver it is very important. And would that have changed what they do here? I don't know. That's for them to ask or ask themselves and answer. But I think that's valuable too. And that's coming out of the premiere. That was a lot of the conversations right there on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about this moment.
Yeah. So obviously, as always, we like to acknowledge on Force Center that particularly when we're talking about something sensitive, that there are many opinions out there. We are sharing ours and we're always happy to hear others. But last thing I'll say on this, Ken, is we also do on Force Center try to embrace the idea of engaging with what's there and good, bad, otherwise. That performance is there in the film. That character moment is in that film. It's a great moment and a great delivery. And I applaud you for just embracing what was on the screen and enjoying it.
What, it's been a ride, Joseph. Wouldn't trade that. No. No. And she's a wonderful performer and has been for years, as Westworld fans already knew, but the world started to discover a little bit more. And I'm all for backward or forward. Give me those characters somewhere, you know, if they all survived, I don't care. That's my number four. We're just really getting started and we're going to go to your number three.
My number three is a line that you can use if you're unhappy with something in Star Wars, unhappy with something in your life. It is mostly for me a comedy line that I really like. So many great Lando Calrissian lines, but the one I had to go with is, I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but I accept it. It's such a great, funny introduction to Lando of seeing him from different perspectives, right?
Yeah.
Seeing him kind of from Han's eyes, where Han's trying to go like, he's not all that. He's not as amazing as Kira says. And, you know, we, the audience, do get to see him be pretty amazing. You know, he's got tricks up his sleeve. Literally, he's full of charm. He's easygoing. You know, he's in this world. He knows how to navigate it. But then from Beckett's perspective, Beckett sees through Lando's BS, right? You know, saying, no, you're only going to get this cut. And, oh, you're going to try to play that. Oh, you don't know how that fortified, you know, infraction restraint ended up on your ship. Like, no, you're BSing us.
Yeah.
You know, and Beckett calls it on him. But then we get to see this picture of who Lando is, which I think Han does absorb, is that he is, of course, charming.
Yeah.
So even in what is obvious loss, he just lost another 5% on his cut. He still tries to portray it as though he is in total control. That's what this line is, right? Of like, I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but I accept it. You know, it's like, I want to say that like at the DMV, you know, when something is happening that is utterly beyond my control, but to make me feel like I'm still under control. Like, oh, I got a parking ticket. I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but I accept it. It gives you this great illusion of control and it's very relatable.
I love it because everything you're saying, there's so true. And it's about how Lando and even how, you know, Lando's got, you know, he's a survivor. We've talked a lot about this, even in Empire, where, you know, a lot of it's, you know, who do you trust? He's got to trust himself in this galaxy. He knows it. So there's some energy there too of, all right, this is a bad circumstance, but I'm going to survive this. Because that's what I do. And I love him kind of, like you're saying, telling himself, because this is my decision in this moment. That's some great stuff. But the other thing, on a real performance level, love everything Donald Glover does in this film, I want to be clear. But there were some moments around this, I remember watching this first couple times, moments around this scene where he says a line or two where I'm like, that was a different delivery for me. Like, I didn't know what he was doing. Like, not criticized, but I just was like, I paused in the theater. I was like, I don't know. And then this line comes up and I was like, oh yeah, no, he's got it. Like this is Lando. This is amazing. And I love it. So I love this line for that reason too. It's the one that just slapped me across the face. Like, stop, Ken. This is Lando.
Yeah, it is absolutely Lando. And I always like to include, you know, a few lines that I feel like other fans were like, these lines become fun because they make it into your normal day-to-day life. And, you know, I've seen people tweet this in response to things like, you know, this book is being delayed. You know, this Star Wars book is being delayed, and seeing people tweet back, I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but I accept it.
Yeah.
So I like that it's in the Star Wars fan lexicon.
Love it indeed. Love it too. Good line indeed. Yeah, this could easily be a Lando quote fest as well.
Exactly. But that's my number three.
Number three. Well, I am I'm going back to the train heist, the conveyance heist there. I didn't intend that, actually. I'm just thinking that of like, oh yeah, here we go. I guess I can't leave that scene. It's those range troopers. I just love their fur and magnetic boots so much. My number three line is from Rio Durant, of course, voiced by Jon Favreau. It's no good to die alone, kid. it's pretty direct. I don't even just need to spend a lot of time breaking down kind of what the line means and what it means for Han. And there's different ways to look at it, though. This was a line I was looking, doing a little research on to make sure I quoted wrong. I'm famous for quoting lines incorrectly, as a lot of people know. And one article was like, oh, this is great because this line proves to Han that going back for Kira is what he needs to do, and that his love and attachment for her is a good driving force. Which I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's I've not dwelt upon that interpretation of a lot, but I like that. And also, again, going this idea of just the loneliness of this life, and then looking at the Val line again, looking at where Val is at her final moments, kind of no regrets, kind of strong about that. Where Rio's just like, I've been lying to myself the entire time, and yeah, it's sad and it's tragic. And I thought it was delivered very nice. I do like the character Rio a lot. There's a lot of comedy, a lot of great moments, but I thought this is one of those lines where I don't take a lot of inspiration from it. It's haunting to me. I'm very happy to say I'm in a wonderful relationship with Grace, but there's a lot of lonely years in my life where I was like, whatever, I don't need nobody. And I think I would have needed Rio to be like, it's no good to die alone, kid. And unless that's your choice and that's where you want to be. But that wasn't where I wanted to be. So for me, this line would have been haunting. So Rio, we miss you, buddy. We miss you. This was a great line.
Yeah, I think I love that you included this one because, yeah, it would have been perfectly effective if this charming, fun scoundrel of Rio Durant died in front of Han's eyes. But the fact that he died imparting some wisdom, in particular that this is the opposite of what Rio had been saying, right? Because yes, he had been actively disagreeing with Val of like, yeah, Val senses like, no, I know what Han wants. This is about a girl, right?
Yeah.
And Rio has, you know, the great lines about like, yeah, many have tried to pin me down, but it's not happening. And that just kind of false bravado. And then in the moment of his death, facing his truth, like, Val is right. You know, everybody needs somebody. And to have them kind of drop that on Han and Han see the loneliness of dying alone.
Yeah.
I think Han is very committed to Kira.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this is more about Han seeing the kind of the true danger of this life, not just the death, the physical death, but the reality for your soul. Right. Cause that's sitting with him, right. The controversial moment where he gets his name and he's like, I don't have people. Right.
Yeah.
And how much is his mission in life to have people or not is, you know, I think at the one of the other cores of this film.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's friendly with Chewie. He hasn't the full connection. You know, I mean, they've showered together at this point, but you know, it's still growing. everything's still growing in Han, and that even that connection, that drive towards Kira is not necessarily right for him. Right, it's definitely not where his life ends up. So yeah, I think you're right there too. There's a lot to it there. So, man, again, Rio, I just realized I don't have a Rio figure. I think I have to correct that.
Yeah. I got my Rio 3 3/4, my little solo family.
Well played. Well, played. Well, that's my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
My number two is a Kira line. And, again, a lot of great Kira lines. I almost just included the scream when she throws those grenades on Kessel. That's a great line.
I almost did. I almost did too.
I just love that rage. She's so sharp and so in control. And then when she gets the opportunity, like, let me show you how it's done, boys. But the line I went with is toward the end of her time with Han. She has told Han that she is just gathering up the jewels so that they can start their life together. Han is leaving and she stops him, following up on a conversation that they had started earlier in the film. And she says, smile. That's the word. Whenever I imagine myself off with you on some adventure, always makes me smile. I think this line is really important for lots of reasons, but it's really moving for me. I think on the interpersonal level, it is really showing. I think Kira does care about Han. I think she thinks fondly of him. The more I watch this film, the more it feels clear to me that she has, you know, a multifaceted motivation at the end. She wants to clear Han of being under, threat of the Red Blade of Maul and Crimson Dawn in general. And she has taken this opportunity to move up the ladder. You know, if everybody serves somebody, she is done serving Dryden Vos and is going to move up the ladder and get closer to having more people serve her than the other way around. You know, I for me, that's what's going on at the end. But this line is her, I think, expressing something sincere of, I love the idea of being off with you on some adventure. That's really sweet. But then what's implied by this line is, but it's an utter fantasy, you child. Right. And you do not understand that. So it's a wistful moment for me. I remember back to who I was when we were racing to Coronet Spaceport, and she's got those great lines about, like, we're not going to have to listen to anybody. And then her life experience leads her away from believing that. But Han has not changed. Mm. He still believes in that. He still believes in this fantasy of personal freedom. And that's one of the things that I love about this movie is it's not just that people are fighting to be free. They are fighting to believe that it's even possible, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Beckett and Val and Kira and lots of other people are kind of arguing. Beckett has some hope, but for the most part, it's, yeah, no, it's that's not the world. That's not the galaxy. You're not going to be free and fly mm-hmm. around in your own ship and have your little adventures. That's not the way this goes. It's a childish dream to believe you could even ever be free. So I love this line because I think it speaks of true warmth to Han and this very beautiful sense of what Star Wars is, of just whisking away on some adventure. But then it's also bittersweet because this character believes that's a dumb fantasy.
Yeah, it's. This tragedy just dripping all through this line, right? It's classic 40s, you know, almost film noir, you know, kind of character kind of vibe, which I know is a lot of Kira character. You know, Emilia Clarke brought so much more life to that than just a trope, but I think it's there. So every time I see it, even just the way that kind of sequence is shot, and it makes me think of her looking out at Han and Chewie as the ship flies by. Like, that's shot in like 1943 Hollywood for me too.
Oh yeah.
A lot of just pain buried into this wonderful line that is sweet too as well. I agree with you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this is definitely like a We'll Always Have Paris of like, we had something, it was great. You think it can ever exist again, but I know the truth, it can't. It's some great power to it.
Yeah, and there's great power to Kira, as we know. I love that you highlighted that. Look, she also has certain beliefs, but she also is going to move up that ladder and make those choices and make those moves. And even the most wanted book that that's tied to this picture even kind of touches on that kind of personality of Kira. Good at this stuff, knows this stuff. I think it's all there, and that's why we celebrate Kira a lot around here. But this one breaks my heart, and breaks me for Han too. Even though Han's got the love he needs right next to him in the form of that hairy friend he's got there, but he's got good things coming. But it breaks my heart for Han too.
Yeah, and I mean that's so great too of when Kira's saying, "You go help Chewie. You know he needs you, and you're going to need him." So Kira gets like, "Yeah, you have found that that connection you're looking for, but it's not with me. It's with the Wookiee." Yeah. You fool.
Yeah. It is. We are not the first to suggest Solo is a love story of Chewie and Han.
Exactly. Yeah. I just wish that there was a scene of them eating spaghetti together. Besides that.
Yeah.
Perfect. So that's my number two, Ken.
That's a great number two. Great number two. We are going to go to my number two, and that is a Han Solo line. Going back to Han. I allow myself to go back to Han here. But this is not a line that I would have put down this list if I hadn't sat down to watch this movie this week. And I found myself connecting to something in the beginning of the movie, and that's when Han was speaking to Lady Proxima and all the things kind of, you know, falling down around him there in his white Rett's scrum kind of life there. when he says, "I ran away with my life," I think that means something. That means something to me. Han learns a lot in these movies, and there's some more we're going to talk about around Kira and around what Han thinks of himself. But this is one of those ones where I almost want to submit it as a defense of this wild, crazy scoundrel who's just floating through the galaxy and turning away from being a rebel. And all this. I think where he comes from and the life he has. And that's, this is kind of all he has is his life. Mm-hmm. And so it should mean everything to him. It does mean something. He's going to fight for it. He's going to survive. He's going to be who he wants to be. There's great power in this line for me up top at the beginning of this movie. And it's, again, always been there, but sometimes you just watch it. I don't know how many times you watch Soul. How many times have I seen Soul? It's, something's going to jump out at you. And for Han, who does spend a lot of his life running away, needing to go back, having his heartstrings pulled, I guess I'll go back and help Luke. And yeah, these rebels, just give me my money. He goes through that all the way up into Force Awakens, as you and I have discussed with Leia, kind of needing to tell him plainly, go get our son if you see him. I do like that this is something that's strong for Han early on, and this is a point of view. Hey, this is all he has, and this this life, it's mine, and it means something, and I love that for Han.
Yeah, no, this is I really like that you picked this line, because I think this line is funny. It makes me laugh every time, you know, the way he is kind of trying to sell it of like, you know, look, I mean, obviously he's trying to lie to Lady Proxima, but saying like, look, yeah, no, we learned a valuable lesson that we can't trust those guys, and we did get away with something, my life. I think that means something. And then just kind of like that, there's that great delivery where it's like the comedian reading the room and you realize nobody's on board with you.
Yes.
Yes. Like means something to me. So to me, it's a funny line, but it really is like it's kind of getting ahead of what Moloch is in Lady Proxima are about to say of like Quaxim is valuable. Scrum rats, you pick them up on the street all the time. Your life is. Yeah. Not valuable. It is not a part of this equation. Yeah. And it is Han really starting to push back on that. Like, my life is really literally all that I have. I will only have other things if I steal them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is, you know, the beginnings of, you know, I'm in this for one person, me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's kind of at this point, especially all he's got.
It's all he's got. Yeah. So it's a funny line, but it has the beginning of that spirit of rebellion too, of like, okay, well, if you don't think my life is valuable,
yeah,
I really got to get out of here.
Yeah. And also, yeah, around this time is when the street tough there, the enforcer is like whacking him with that, you know, stick and he stands up for that. So
Rebolt.
There you go. There you go. Rebolt indeed. So that is my number two. Although we're not done, we are going to come back with some honorable mentions and our number one choices for our favorite lines in Solo, A Star Wars Story. Stick around here for more Star Wars.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked, episode 135 in an ongoing series, and we are in a sub-series of that ongoing series looking at our favorite lines in the Star Wars movies, and we are on Solo today, as you know. Thanks for listening. Looking at our my list, looking at your list. Yeah, there's it's very hard to leave some lines behind, and deep, important lines, and also just funny lines. This movie has a great spirit to it. That's why a lot of people love it. So, Joseph, hit me with some honorable mentions.
Yeah, a lot of mine were just kind of a flavor or character perspective. So one of the just lines of great flavor, just that kind of a Kasdan family zing. I love it when they're at the party. Han and Kira have reconnected, and Kira says, "What should we drink to?" And Han says, "Let's drink to and see where it goes." It's such a young man trying to be clever. It's I just absolutely love that, of Han just trying so hard to be a grown up for his his refound love, who clearly knows so much more about everything than him, and he's trying to keep up with her. I love it.
I'm pretty cool, yeah. Nah, I mean, not good, but I love it.
You seem to have power and control, but let me show you what I got. Quips. Yeah. moving on to L3. L3's got a lot of great lines, but the one I really like is the, "I've found my true purpose, Lando. That's what I've done. I'm so glad we took this job." "I'm so glad we took this job," I believe, was used in some of the trailers, so it's, I think it's got a great rhythm to it. So I think it's one that gets quoted a lot, but there's a power to it for me, not just an L3's story of, "Oh, wait, if I believe in droid sentience so powerfully, I don't just need to, you know, fight with people in bars about it. I could actually act on it," and that sort of revelation. But the theme, the whole film has such a theme of, can you free yourself, and everybody being, you know, imprisoned. Even these droids kind of maybe not quite realizing.
Yeah.
How imprisoned they are, until she just starts letting them free and the HVAC droid is stomping on the control board. I think there's so much in this line for L3, but also just that spirit of rebellion.
And I think sometimes lines that are in trailers can be said so much or heard so much that maybe they lose their effectiveness or something like that. I still love that entire sequence. And just, yeah, you're right. Just the way she's kind of like, "Come on, wake up. Removing your restraining bolts are doing this," and then all hell then breaks loose. It's great. It's a great moment.
Absolutely great. Another just quick line that I think is funny, when the mud troopers are watching the battle between Han and Chewie in the mud pit, and they're upset that it is happening too fast, and one mud trooper says, "Kill him slower."
Oh, stormtroopers.
Yeah, just a great funny line. And speaking of funny lines, my next one here is one that's very easy to memorize for trivia contests. "I am Oksana Florin, Deputy Assistant Administrator to the Vice Admiral of the Federation of Trade Route Allocation and Monetization." I know that this has been stated by young Kasdan to be a little bit of a kind of joking poke at the way the groups, the affiliations in the prequel sometimes didn't have the most exciting names: Trade Federation, Corporate Alliance, Banking Clan. So I get that that is hopefully in a sense of fun, yeah, poking fun at that part of Star Wars terminology. But I also just like it from Kira's perspective of you see that Kira is down and able to kind of play these scoundrel games, right? Mm-hmm. In the way that she says it with so much just authority, so that she is not questioned in that cape, in that posture.
Yeah.
And almost just says so many words that it is too much to even be processed. is so great. I just love it.
No, it's a great line. Great. It's just a great look. That is just one of the best looks in Star Wars. I love her coming down that Falcon, that cape billowing behind her, and the look. Everything is fierce. And I also love in a movie that there's a lot of, comments on, survival, rebellion, hope, freedom, and serving. And Kira's point of every title serves the next title, right? Deputy, yes, assistant to the administrator, the vice admiral. They're all serving someone else. And that in this moment, Kira kept with that theme, though she takes some power for herself without a doubt. So I love everything about that.
Yeah, it does. It has like the rot and the stink of too much bureaucracy. And I love that Quaid Tolsite has that kind of like flustered, confused take of like, yeah, trying to process all the words. So do you want me to pause there and kick it back to you?
Yeah, I also was going to say that's how you get into VIP sections. Just say this. Just say so many things that no one can question it. I don't have
a cape.
Yeah, I don't have that skill. All right, some honorable mentions for me. I mentioned it a little bit ago, but yeah, next time somebody hits me, I hit them back. Han Solo, man. That's Han. He's had enough. I love that at the beginning of the movie. There's a great little side when Beckett's trying to put the coaxium there in the hyperfuel in the Falcon. Great sequence, a lot of tension. Just shut up and let me do this. I'm taking that one with me the rest of life. Let me do this.
Do you relate to that when you're trying to focus on something and you're getting a lot of feedback from people in the room?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm fiercely independent in a lot of ways, codependent in others, but, I have a little bit of that. Like I don't just tell me what to do. Great. Got it. I'm going to do it. Leave me alone.
Yeah. No, I think I relate to this too, especially when it's just like a dangerous physical task and everybody's giving you notes and thoughts of like, could I please concentrate while I'm doing the dangerous thing?
Yeah, indeed. So I love that. Lando, you had touched upon it earlier, but it's such a great line. Everything you've heard about me is true. Just the delivery. And then I'm even questioning myself, like, how could I a few minutes later in the film be like, what's going on with Donald? Do I love it? Like, this is a great delivery. This is a classic Lando line and just was nailed. I love everything about that line, too. So
it's an incredibly great line. It's incredibly great delivery. But it is also just like we were talking about earlier. It's like it's Lando being like aware of the power of spreading your myth. Right.
Yeah.
Like if you've heard it, believe it. And then the fact that great line is tagged by him saying thanks, love, to a cocktail robot.
Yeah.
Absolute beauty.
Another real line I think we have to highlight. It's hard to not include. I'm telling you, you'll never have a deeper sleep than curled up in a Wookiee's lap. I mean, and I still again want to be in the booth when Favreau saying Wookiee, and the choice. It's a choice because it's said and it's said two times and it's in the film. I just love that for Rio as a character. It's just something. It's just endearing. I love it.
It's great. I mean, it is that flavor of like, I think why Lucas said, like, yeah, no, I'm not going to correct you. People pronounce names differently. Just go for it. Leia, Leia, Han, Han, go, fine, whatever. And it continues that great tradition, but with the pronunciation of an alien species name.
Is that a Wookiee? Oh, I love that there. One more from me and I'll toss it back to you. Going back to Lando, I haven't really had a chance to use this in life yet, because if you use it wrong, it could come off as really disparaging. You might want to buckle up, baby. I think that's great. You got to be kids. It'd be very careful. Have you use Star Wars quotes? It could go wrong, but I like that line.
Here's how I would use that. If I ever became a parent, I would say that to my own actual baby while putting it in a car seat. You might want to buckle up, baby. Then I would, of course, buckle up for the baby. I would not leave the baby to buckle themselves.
Yeah. A couple more for me, but what else? What is else on your honorable mention list?
This is not like a great line of deep meaning. This is just like a Star Wars nerdery line that I really like. It was Maul saying, "Bring the ship and come to me on Dathomir." We could go on and on about, you know, the surprise of Maul's appearance, how much sense it made, how much it might have confused general audiences about the Star Wars timeline. But it is that deep into the lore and knowing what Dathomir is. And it's just, even if you didn't know what Dathomir is, it's such a great Star Wars planet name.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like a very scary place to bring the ship and come to. Yep. So for me, it's just like, that gets me in my just like creepy pulp, the shadow, you know, dark vigilante kind of a frame of mind that Star Wars has that mood of come to me on Dathomir. So I love that one. Dryden Vos, there's so many Dryden Vos lines I could have included, but another one that always makes me laugh because it sounds like something he says all the time. It's a big part of his, I'm a fun guy hosting a party, and I am also very clearly almost always threatening you with every syllable that comes out of my mouth, but we're just having a party. It's when he's leading everybody back to have the initial meeting. He says, "All right, let's eat a little, drink a lot, and talk privately."
It's great.
I just love that list. He says it and it manages to sound really threatening. But when you break it down, it sounds fun. I would like to have that be a plan for an evening with many people.
There's so many moments with Paul Bettany as Dryden Vos that are just like hilarious. And he's a monster. He's a monster. even the Colo Clawfish and him taking the bites. You know, I love Brad Pitt in every Ocean's 11 movie, always eating food. I love little things like that. And just him just kind of like, no, I do want to see it because I might kill you. This is great.
I really do, Han. Yeah.
I really do. love that. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. That's a perfect way to eat, drink, and party and do business.
Yeah, eat a little, drink a lot, talk privately. I got two more. One is just absolutely fun. Rio Durant. It's when they're at the campfire bonfire, and it is coming up that that Val thinks that Han is in this for a lady. And Rio Durant says, "Tell us about the girl, Han. Is she nice? Does she have sharp teeth?" It's a funny comedy line, but to me, it goes back to that kind of that heart of original Star Wars, of this idea of from our human perspective, telling stories on Earth where we don't get to visit alien worlds. It's fun to imagine alien worlds. It's fun to imagine an alien species. We're like, what's my two number one things I look for in a lady? Nice, sharp teeth.
Swipe right off if you like sharp teeth.
Yes. Exactly. Swipe right for sharp teeth. That's the other great Rio Durant line. Yeah. Final one for me is, you know, a callback. And I understand some fans think there are too many connections to other moments between Han and Lando and Han and the galaxy. But I love it at the end when Han wins the Falcon and says, "Fair and square, baby, fair and square." And I think if you stop at the, like, yes, that's the thing that he says that in Empire, I want it fair and square. But what I love about it is we're getting towards the end of the film, right at the end of the film, when this version of Han Solo is getting fully formed. And what he's saying there, fair and square, baby, fair and square, is he's saying to Han, or Han is saying to Lando, "Hey, I learned partially from you that the way to get by in this galaxy is always to look out for number one. And if the way you need to win is cheat, that's how it goes in the galaxy. Thanks for the lesson, Lando."
Yeah. Absolutely. Take that, Lando. And as far as the callbacks, it could be a separate deep dive podcast. I get there's a lot, and maybe some don't hit as much as the others, but it's one of those things to where I'm just like, I have so much fun with Solo. I love that. And you know, if you've listened to Force Center enough, you all can even have fun with some of the phrases Joseph and I might say over and over, just because not intentionally. It's just in our brains. So if Han's picking up something here that he even says, that he says it later, I'm sure he said fair and square many times in his life. And I'm good with it.
Yeah, yeah. I cheated fair and square. And I think that gives the line meaning. So that's my honorable mention.
Love it. A couple more for me to round out the list. Going to Han on Mimban. It's their planet. We're the hostiles. Just kind of saying some truths, but also saying what Han's, what he views the Empire as, even though he's in the Imperial army. Like, that's his view. He has no allegiance to them. He has no allegiance to necessarily the planet here and everything. He's off on his own life, on his own mission, and he's going to learn to get involved later on. But it's a truth, and it's also what's in Han's heart. And that's why he is, got a heart of gold that buried deep down there. It's these kind of thoughts and these kind of truths that are in him. So I've always liked that line, too.
Yeah, I love this one. You know, I had a hard time not including Kira's line telling Enfys that he's going to help you. But I think this is in that spirit of, like, Han is out for himself. He's learning lessons in this film that says it's right to be out for yourself. But he's also, like, always, always there for anyone he perceives to be the underdog, right?
Yeah.
If it's, you know, an orphan kid, if it's a rebel leader, or if it's a whole planet. He's just like, you know, he doesn't like bullies.
Yeah. So love that line. A couple more Han lines, and I'll close with some Enfys lines. I actually enjoy, I'm one of the people who enjoys Han saying, I got a really good feeling about this.
I love it too.
I love it. I get why you might be too winky and nudgy for you, but I love it. And then similar like that Beckett, shut up and let me do this line. I love when he's getting the 11 canisters of coaxium up, but he says, I get it, guys. It's dangerous.
Right. Because isn't that when they're like listing the exposition about the below 35 degrees and all that? And like, yeah.
Yeah. And to me, it really almost made my list. Because it's a lot about Han. I think about that Force Awakens stuff all the time. It's like, so it's big. There's got to be some way to blow it up. How are we going to get to the planet? I'm not even going to tell you, Leia. Don't worry. We're going to figure it out. I get it. It's dangerous. I get it. But we're going to do it. And that's Han.
Yeah. This one has some rhythm with, hey, it's me. Come on.
Totally does. Final one, Sir Enfys says, I almost heartbroken and disappointed myself that I didn't include an Enfys nest on my top five. But you had what I really do believe is the... A big part of the movie's heart with that Enfys Nest line you talked about. But I do love the character. I love Aaron Kellyman as Enfys Nest, and I want her to come back in shows. I want an Enfys novel. I want to know about her mother. I want to know about her family life. I want to know everything. She's a great character. And the design you and I have talked about so much, we just love Enfys Nest. Two lines. I'll start with the more serious one. This is all during the reveal. We're not marauders. We're allies, and the war has just begun. Man, that can give me nerd chills if I'm kind of just not expecting it. If I just got Solo on and I'm just like, let me tune in for this scene. I love this scene. It can move me. Similar to, you know, hearing some Erratus and all those things I talk about in other Force Center broadcasts. I just really love the strength in this line. The smile on her face. There's a sly smile like, yeah, this is who we are. And there's a lot of pain behind everything that she's gone through and those people have gone through. But it's kind of like, this is what we are. This is the truth. And we are just starting. There's great power in that line.
Yeah, the war has just begun. You know, it's got some rhythms with what Luke is saying on Krait in The Last Jedi. It's definitely got some Padme, some Leia spirit of like, we will not be, ignored. We will make a difference in this galaxy. But I think this line is so crucial to these big ideas in Solo of so many people are believing, including Han, that everybody is out for themselves. So don't trust anybody who says that they're not out for themselves because they're just trying to swindle you fair and square. And this is Enfys saying, yeah, that's who you think we are. You think we're marauders, but we're allies. The idea that we would reach out and help one another is kind of a philosophical counterpoint to everything else that Han is being sold.
It is indeed, and a powerful line, but preceded by one of my favorite lines in Star Wars, because I think it's easy to use in real life, especially around Force Center here. It is Enfys Nest. Upon the big reveal, this is a big reveal. The helmet comes off, and I don't care if in the movie you thought, oh, this is you knew the twist was coming, and it was Aaron Kellyman playing this role. I don't care. This is a great reveal, and it's a powerful reveal for a lot of things that Joseph just said with that Marauders line. But I love she takes a mask off and she's just like, I need a drink. And it's funny. It's a heartfelt frustration. I understand it. But I just love this line, Joseph, because I think there's great power in her just going, enough with the masks, and I know the mask means a lot to herself and her mother and everything. I'm not disparaging the mask, but enough with all this, enough of the pretense. I need a drink. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to tell you the truth because it's time for the truth. We've been living this truth. I'm going to share the truth with you and enough fighting. I just need a drink. We need to talk. I just think there's some great, just great power in that line as well.
So. Yeah. There's still like, agency and anger. Like, she's controlling the situation, right? But there's this tension, like, this is going to be a blaster fight, right? And
yeah.
Kira has that line about, maybe we can compromise and doesn't need to be as much killing. But this is like Enfys being like, yeah, no, we're not going to solve this right now with shooting. Maybe later. But right now, a drink. It is a de-escalation.
It's just, yeah, because and Cloud Riders might win that fight, you know, they may be outgun them and everything, yeah, you know, but it isn't about that, and that's not what they're about, and just there's so much, yeah, just so there's this, just this is just starts this sequence out and just leads to some of the wonderful things that we've been talking about with Enfys there too. So, anyways, love it, love Enfys Ness. We are very supportive of that character around here. Hopefully, we'll get some more, but we're gonna get to our number one choices for our favorite lines of dialogue in Solo Star Wars Story. I'm going to choose one, but it is part of a sequence, and it's one I've mentioned before, but it's just, I didn't want to be cute. It needed to be my number one. I love everything about it. It is Kira talking to Han. It is the part of the trailer exchange that was in the trailer. Mm-hmm. She, of course, says to Han, I might be the only person in the whole galaxy who knows really who you really are. This is after Han is said, you know, I'm this, I'm the bad guy.
An outlaw.
And then he comes back with the, yeah. What am I? Because it's Han. He knows some truths about to be laid at his feet there. And he knows he's putting up a front. But it's, you know, it's not, he's not just totally fake. Like, he wants that life. That's the power in that, getting his name for me. I know not everyone loves that scene, but this is life. And this is the life that he feels he's best at. And when we see him in Force Awakens, this is the life he goes back to. It's a constant struggle within him. And it's representative of a lot of our own struggles and life and who we want to be, maybe who we should be. But Kira coming back with, you're the good guy. It's not cheesy to me. It's not overdone. It's not saccharine. It's just the truth of who he is. It ties wonderfully to the most wanted novel, as I've mentioned many times, where we actually see Kira kind of learn who Han is firsthand in a series of events, but it's a great paragraph or two in that chapter by Ray Carson, where Kira sees Han's actual goodness and how he treats her, and he sees her for her. And I always say that Kira, it's not some revelation for Kira. She's kind of like, oh, this guy's reflecting what I know about myself, what I feel about myself inside, because he sees that. And he's the only one that has seen that. He's a good dude. And that leads to this conversation. And Han needs to be, he needs to kind of be spanked, you know, needs to, you know, get slapped, whatever you want to say. I don't condone the violence, but just snap out of it, Han. But I also think, Joseph, there's her little rhythm with Leia of, he's got to decide that for himself. Like, she's telling him the truth, and she knows maybe in his head that some point he's going to get it, or some point he's going to understand it. It's not for me to drill it into his head. I've just got to tell him what I know, and that's maybe going to sink in at some point. There's a lot I love about the line, and this is the story of Solo. And I don't want to get too negative, but I was at a party around the time this movie came out, and this is one of, not even an argument, but it was one of the fiercest. And I don't get proud of when, you know, we all Star Wars fans might get a little grumpy, and criticism or discussions about movies is not the problem. But sometimes there's just so many declarative statements. And I'm just like, you're just wrong, and you've missed it. And someone at this party was like, Solo's so stupid. How stupid is Disney? And I'm pretty much quoting this guy here. How stupid is Disney? You know, they made Han Solo a good guy, but when we meet him in A New Hope, he's not a good guy. He's a bad guy. And I just was like, words deleted. You're wrong. You have missed New Hope. You have missed this movie, and you've missed Han. And I don't talk to that guy much anymore. By the way, this is after I said I need a drink and before it. So I don't need a date, but I'm very protective of this movie, as a lot of fans of Solo are. And I'm protective of this particular scene and sequence because of the truth it is for Han. And this is it. Han at the beginning of New Hope isn't a bad guy. He's this guy, a good guy going through the galaxy because he values his life, he values his connections, and he doesn't like bullies, and he's not there for the Empire. He's not quite there for the Rebellion because he doesn't quite isn't ready to commit. He is living this life he thinks he's supposed to live, but deep down inside, this is who he is. So anyways, I'll end rant. I apologize to that guy. If I ever run into him again, I'll apologize. I just love this line. You're a good guy because Han Solo is a good guy.
Yeah, no, I so agree with your take on the film and your take on this moment. I love it from Kira's perspective because to me, she is telling him the truth that he can't see or won't allow himself to see. But it's also from her, like, it's got that same kind of like wistful truth of like, it makes me smile to imagine off on some adventure. Like, it's maybe not always going to go great for you that you're the good guy. It makes you kind of ignorant and in danger. And so I'll do what I can to protect you. But it's the truth that in your heart of hearts, you care about other people. And in particular, you care about people who went through what you did, who felt abandoned and alone, and someone more powerful than them is treating them like crap. And you struggle. You want to take in all these lessons that you have, that the way to be strong and the way to keep yourself safe physically and emotionally is to be the bad guy, to be the outlaw, to be the guy who only looks out for number one. And you say that loud and proud, and you say it most of all to convince yourself. But the truth is, in your heart of hearts, again and again, you turn back for the underdog, for the orphan, right? That's who he is. That's why she knows he's going to help Enfys. That's why he literally turns around in A New Hope to help Luke and Leia and the rebellion. That's why he, you know, literally turns around on the bridge in Endor to be there for Leia. His instinct is to always go, and walk away. But Kira knows that he's going to turn around again and again. He's going to go out on that bridge after his son, you know, that's who he is at his absolute heart at the end of the day.
It is on Starkiller Base. Our friends are in trouble. We got my friend's got some explosive. Let's go. It's Han.
Yep. And he's not all, we have plenty of Han stories where he doesn't, you know, listen to his gut. He doesn't turn around, but Kira knows that's who he is ultimately. And in the story of Han in Star Wars, those are the big moments where he turns around to help the underdog.
It is indeed. So that is my number one choice. You're a good guy, from Kira to Han. But now we are up to your number one choice from Solo, a Star Wars Story.
My number one is two lines. We've kind of mentioned them, but they just had to be my number one because I think about them all the time. I think they are the real pillars that ground the movie in terms of what Han is becoming. There's so much in the movie that is about the state of the galaxy and Coaxium as power and people being imprisoned and longing for freedom. But for Han, trying to figure out what the galaxy is and who he wants to be, he gets a couple different messages. He gets in that bonfire message, the first part of my favorite line, from Val, everybody needs somebody. As much as Val is committed to the life of the scoundrel and the rogue and the bounty hunter, she has this epiphany that we talked about a little bit, Rio saying, hey, Val was right. You know, it's no good to die alone. Everybody needs somebody to get by. You know, she says even this broken down old crook, and has that passionate kiss with Beckett. So it's really being demonstrated to Han of, yeah, I know you got stuck with this name Solo, and now you're really trying to put your back into it. You're really trying to mean it. You're really trying to go through the galaxy believing that you don't need anybody at all, that you're just in this alone, right? So Han's got that bit of life philosophy that he is hearing and seeing from Val and from Rio. But then there's this other line where Kira is trying to break down reality of the galaxy to him and get him to accept it. And unlike Val saying everybody needs somebody, Kira says everyone serves somebody, Han. And I think everybody needs somebody, everyone serves somebody. Kira has kind of accepted this as her dark truth, you know, and I think she wouldn't say that cynicism. I think she would say that's realism. And then you work with that reality. And if everyone serves somebody, I would like to serve the least amount of people and have the most people serve me. Because if that's the rule of the galaxy, then I'm just going to try to make it as best as I can for myself within that rule of the galaxy. And I think what's really great about these core pillars is they relate first to just big Star Wars philosophy, right? Everybody needs somebody is we're all in this together. That is, you form a symbiont circle. That is, yeah, let's help the Ewoks and the Ewoks will help us. Everyone serves somebody is looking at life as a zero-sum game. And in every interaction, there's a winner and a loser. You know, everyone serves somebody is Palpatine manipulating Anakin and saying, the Jedi aren't any different than the Sith. Everybody just wants power, and the people who claim they don't want power are lying. Nobody actually wants to work together. Nobody actually believes everybody needs somebody. So it's fine to just take what you want because everyone serves somebody. It's the philosophy that I think Palpatine actually holds and is manipulating Anakin with. So it's these core pillars of kind of light side, dark side to me of everybody needs somebody. We're all in this together. Everybody serves somebody. It's a zero-sum game, so you might as well try to be the winner and crush the losers. And then from what this movie is about, Solo, the Han Solo story, is at this young age, we see Han kind of internalize both of those truths, right? Mm-hmm. He goes through most of the film wanting somebody. He wants Kira. He wants to go on this adventure with her. As we've talked about, it's Han wants this movie to be a love story about Han and Kira, and it ends up being a romance about Han and Chewie. Kira knows that everybody needs somebody from a certain perspective too, that she and that Han and Chewie need one another. Yeah. And by the end of the film, Han has kind of completed this. He has somebody to go through this with. He has Chewie. They both have their hands on the light speed dial. But then he's also really internalized the everybody serves somebody, that you really always got to look out for number one. Everything is a zero sum game. Beckett's kind of this mentor, and he seems to like me too. But one or the other of us is going to shoot the other on this beach. So I'm going to shoot him first. And so by the end of this, you got this Han Solo who has kind of learned everybody needs somebody, but isn't really being honest with himself about it and is focusing much more on you got to always look out for number one. So much like the whole film, it's this kind of thrilling tale of how this charming rogue becomes a charming rogue, but it's also the tale of this greater depth, this greater heart, this greater possibility for this character in this galaxy.
Yeah. I don't want to undercut this with something that sounds like a bad joke, but it's like, if this movie's about the baking of Han Solo in the kitchen of Star Wars, these are the two main ingredients that are going in that are going to be at war with each other until the very end, I would think. It's absolutely, like you said, he is taken both to heart. He's just got to figure out which one's going to win in the end.
Yep. And lots of fun storytelling in between, which I would be happy to see.
Absolutely. And this is about the lessons for Han and the film and everything, but two great characters. And I just, we love Kira so much as a character too. And a lot of this wisdom from her to Han, a lot of it comes from a real pained and maybe even a little broken side, but there's such power and insight in her. I love how she's, trying to thrive, and the comics and everything now, look, she's thrived as best she can, as best she wanted in this situation. So more Kira and more insights from her, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love more Kira, and I love how much her perspective is earned. She goes through a real awful implied hell, right? That great delivery of like Han saying, how did you get out? And like, I didn't. And then she just changes the subject, right? It's so in control, but such an earned perspective. But I think ultimately that's one of the things that is so great about this film is, even though Han wants to see himself as the outlaw and he's got his ship and he's got his buddy and he's going to get a job and he's going to be great, he's going to fly around having adventures, that there is this sadness to how much he has internalized. Everybody's out for themselves, but there's a hope, right? Kira doesn't have hope. She doesn't have hope that this could ever be changed. And Han, in his like great, bumbling, charming way, always has hopes that he can figure out anything, even if he starts out with a dumb solution and a half-assed idea. It's this kind of great, charming, roguish hope of like, we can find a way.
Yeah. Might be a dumb hope at times, but it's hope. It's hope. And I'm saying that that's someone who sees himself in Han.
That's what this film actually should have been called instead of Solo, a Star Wars story. It should have been Solo, a dumb hope.
A dumb hope. but hey, you know what? It works. And this fun, silly, serial adventure, whip smart kind of movie that has quote unquote smaller stakes compared to other Star Wars stories. There's so much depth in this movie. There's so much there. Joseph, I think your list really, really just looked at all parts of the galaxy in this Solo universe and brought it to the forefront. Thank you, sir. That's a great list.
Thank you. Your list was amazing as well.
hey, we love doing this. It's Star Wars Ranked. We have got one big movie left to go. Have you heard about this movie? A lot of people don't like some lines. A lot of people love them. And we are going to go to our favorite lines of Rise of Skywalker very soon here on Star Wars Ranked. But thank you, all of you, for listening here today. You might have your own list. You might have your own choices. Come celebrate Solo with us. Do so by following us on Twitter. You can reach out at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. We have a Facebook page, Force Center Podcast. You can get an audiobook on us if you'd like to by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. Get some merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Podcasts available in a lot of different spots. We just made a big move over to Acast. We'll keep you updated on what that means. It means you're going to still get us where you want to get us, but it could mean even more places to listen to the show, more things coming and more ways. So stay tuned for that. You could support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. I'm Ken Napsok. So you can follow me there at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, KenNapsok.com. Comedy shows coming up in Washington, D.C. You can get tickets on that website. Joseph, where can they follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And for updates on all my various comedy adventures, you can check out my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
Do it, my friends. Do it. We'll see you next time for The Rise of Skywalker. But for now, Star Wars has been great.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.